this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.
Listeners are winning huge cash prizes every week at DraftKings.com. You could be crowned the next fantasy football millionaire this weekend. DraftKings is America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. Last year, one player turned $11 into $4,000. Another won $100,000 his first time ever playing, and another guy won $1 million in a single day. Enormous cash prizes are paid out every week at DraftKings.com. Play one-week fantasy at DraftKings to turn your season-long fantasy research into instant cash. Hurry and get free entry into the Millionaire Maker event this weekend, where first place takes home $1 million. Head over to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code KFC to become a millionaire. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter KFC for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com. And here we are with the Jean Jacket Gang. And I got to admit, I feel pretty left out. I'm like, you know.
I don't think this was even planned. This is just like two guys who know fashion sat down at a web chat.
Yeah, I'll say this right away. Like, Feidelberg has made it okay for me to wear a jean jacket because he's brought jean jackets. Like, he's brought respectability to jean jackets. So I want to thank you for that.
He's a pioneer. He's a trailblazer. He's bringing it back. Now, Fights, do you really just rock these jean jackets because you like them, or do you really want to be known as the jean jacket guy? You know what I'm saying?
No, I think it was fucking – this is like weird. It was like 2 years ago, I think, when maybe even more than that, maybe 3 years ago. So I was on the Blackout tour, and I saw a commercial on TV or something, and I had a girlfriend at the time, and I rolled over and I texted her. I got my phone, and I was like, yo, just saw a dude in a jean jacket. Think I got to start rocking one. And I got back from the tour, and she's like, let's go get a jean jacket. And I got it, and she's like, you look awesome. And from then on, she probably said it because she was my girlfriend and she legally had to. But since that time, I just did it. I like it.
Well, I'm going to have to get one to fit in because I don't want to be the outsider. I'm not going to lie. I don't particularly like jean jackets, but if we're all going to do it, you know, if all my friends are jumping off the bridge, I'm jumping right off with them. So
that's right. Kev, I feel like you look great in one, too. Maybe there's a wedding gift. I'll get you a whole bunch of jean jackets.
Hey, that's more than I would expect from you, bud.
What?
All
right, then fuck you. How about that?
The gift situation at Barstool is going to be funny. I'm really pumped. Dave has talked about it so much that I think he has to bring the heat because he's openly spoken about it. So he can't risk me like tweeting out what he actually gave me and having it not be that good. So I'm hoping for like big bucks from Portland.
I'm going to just sneak in and just cross out his name and put the Boston office so I don't have to get paid.
And piggyback on the group gift is always a great way to snake it.
He's going to give you like $1,000, I feel like.
I hope. I mean, that would probably be – that would be what I would pin it at, yeah.
Yeah. Which I think anything awesome. Less than $1,000, and I'm like, wow, that's a pretty cheap move by him.
People are thinking that.
We should upsell him right now. Like, I think anything less than two.
$2,500.
Anything less than two.
Well, you're three. Well, you're four.
Yeah, I'm being dead serious. Like, that's just like he's a boss. He should have to give. I'm a pretty standard gift giver. Like, it's $100. And then if my girlfriend gets invited, it's $200. I'll probably give you $150, Kevin. But Dave, yeah, he's got to do $1,000.
You got it. It's three zeros or bust is what I'm saying. We got KFC. We're going to call it Ladies Night because
I'm excited.
Somehow, some way, we got a lot of female voicemails. Not a whole show of them. And, you know, nothing quite as good as KFC Radio Slutty Girl from last week, which was just...
She was fantastic.
I mean...
We didn't find out where she's from.
I don't think... That's one piece of information I don't think we got. We didn't know the age, and we don't know where she's from, which are two variables that really can affect...
How about her calling me Jabba the Hutt? Like, how much more can I own you to have to just go to, like, the default fat joke? I mean, I owned her life. I basically... When I laughed in her face, her life was over for that point on, and so now she's just grasping at straws like, oh, I'd fuck Feidelberg, like Big Cat's Jabba the Hutt. You think that phases me? I own you.
What she should have done is be like play like the sad girl, you know what I mean? Like try to make you feel bad for it. Be like, oh, right. I really like Big Cat, he was so mean to me. Not like I particularly have warm hearts, but I feel like that would have worked better than your fat Big Cat.
And if we're being perfectly honest, you're a slut. You'd still have sex with me.
When she said, I swear I'm not a slut, I've only fucked 21 guys, it was just like, you're just skewed. Your whole brain
is that slutty? I honestly didn't think it was. I don't think 20 is that bad.
Think about when you're watching football and you see everyone on the field. If you were like, all those dudes have been.
It's stopped. Not all at once.
Not all at once, but. I mean, which scenario do you.
I don't know. Maybe I have a skewed perception, but I did like. 21's on the higher end, but I wouldn't be like, whoa, you're a crazy slut.
No, but it's exactly what we said. You just don't want to know.
Yeah, I mean, I you could definitely get a lot sluttier, and we'll get into some of it with some of these voicemails and emails. But
also my judgment is a little skewed here because I have feelings for this girl now that she said she wanted to sleep with me. But I even when I first read it, I was like, oh, I kind of expected her to be higher than 21.
Well, she did.
Well, it probably is higher than 21. She's probably lying.
Yeah, she's definitely lying.
I'm trying to get her to send over emails that Stooley sent to her because I put the email address out there. She told me I've gotten three of them. And I can't even imagine what guys are saying to her right now. So I'm trying to coax her into sending those over. We'll start with some dudes just because we got to ease into these things. So let's get started.
Yeah, what's up, guys? This is Nick. I got a question for you guys. Since this year, 2014, has been the year of the scandal, let's say, hypothetically, Barstool makes it big with big corporate sponsors, you guys on top of the world. So the question basically is, out of all the bloggers and Barstool employees, who would be the one that gets involved in a big scandal that brings you guys down?
Year of the scandal, 2014. We've made it big. We got corporate sponsors. Somebody bought us out. Now we got to kind of like play by the rules. Which blogger would be the guy to bring down Barstool in a scandal?
I mean, it's Dave. Dave. He lives for scandals.
I mean, he almost did once, twice, three times a lady. That's got to be. He's definitely the number one draft pick in this department. But I guess let's say other than him.
I think everyone would have something. I think it depends what it would by person what it would be. But I don't think any of us would really survive in a corporate type set.
I can't tell you how many times. I mean, there was that infamous lawsuit when I called that guy a deviant, and there's been a couple other times where like I'll write a headline where I'll just be like, "Slut from New Jersey does XYZ." And you know they'll email being like, "You can't call me a slut in like a title," and I'm like. Damn it! Why don't I use my brain ever on these things? Like
I think Dave.
And I keep
Dave would go away in the Simmons sense, in the scandal sense. Like Dave would tell the bosses to go fuck themselves.
Yes.
That would be what he. I don't know what Dan would do.
I'm usually pretty careful with like using words that could come back. I mean,
everyone would have something in the whole scheme of things.
Yeah.
Like I don't think yours would necessarily be words. I guess a gambling. You probably have some gambling debts, maybe.
I mean, if we're gonna be out in the open right now, I have gotten some insider information on some WNBA games. So that like, that's definitely.
Bro, please have a WNBA gambling scandal.
I have gotten insider information. I do an hour of radio on Saturdays, and one of the update girl, the anchor or whatever you call him, is the quarterback for the Lingerie Football League Chicago team. They're in the championship. Actually, the championship already happened. There was a line for it, and me and the other guy, we were absolutely ready for her to throw it. We were like, we'll give you $5,000 to throw this. If we can get a $10,000 bet on the game, we'll give you half of it to throw it. And she wouldn't do it. So That's definitely, yeah, something like that would probably bring the cat cave down.
Fights, what would be yours? You'd like, you know, you like fuck the boss's daughter or something like that?
It would be, I guess, something along those lines. It would be like a spooky ghost thing would definitely happen, like a picture leak for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that would be it. Feidelberg's dick would bring down the stool.
I mean, I've had girls threaten that already, and I just laugh. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Like, no one was like, you're going to get fired from work. I'm like, no, I wouldn't. Like, it would probably be like the best publicity ever. Like, I'd be like, look at this little blogger's dick. Like,
as we stand right now, we're kind of like scandal proof, because everything that would be a scandal would be like good for business.
It would, if that ever happened, some girls like, look at Feidelberg's, that'd be the great. That would be fun. It would be something I'd have to blog, and it would be hilarious.
Right.
Yeah, all these scandals would be huge for us. If there's a point shaving controversy in the lingerie football league, I mean, think about how great that would be.
Well, how about your girl? I mean, that's some integrity. She's got integrity for lingerie.
Wouldn't make that.
They don't even get paid. They don't even get paid. She's like, I don't know.
Figured they got like at least like $150.
They get like travel and that's it. Like she was really, and not only that, but I think the line was like they were -15, so it's not even like she had to throw it to lose. She just had to make sure that they, you know, the other team stayed within the number. She's the quarterback. You can easily do that.
What if she came out, right? What she said no before the game. What if she came out and she missed the touchdown pass up fucking when they were up 12 or something like that? And she missed the touchdown pass and that was it. And then they got the ball back and they still won. But she came back and she's like, oh, yeah, on that last drive, like, I decided I wanted the money. Would you believe her? Or would you be like, no,
because I'd have to place the bet, and it would have been intricate.
That's right.
There's limits on the amount you can bet on these, so we would have had to – like, we were actually talked about this for a while. We were gonna have guys go around to a bunch of different sports books because I think it's only like a $500 limit or a $1,000 limit on this game. And,
yeah. The fact that there are people dropping a grand on lingerie football betting, that's fucking insane.
It's not even like televised. I don't even know where you can watch it.
Yeah, like you would just have to trust like the ESPN update is right. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even think a bookie would double check that's really what happened. You could just make up the final score and like send it. Hang on, frozen. Gmail crashed on me. Google's been awful this week with the Hangouts and my Gmail. Get your shit together, Google.
What's up, guys? Kaz, I got a question for you. What do you think is the easiest and then I guess the hardest position in professional sports to play on the male side? And the reason for the question is my friends and I got into an argument during the World Cup that being a NHL goalie is one of the easiest positions in all of male sports, and it's definitely easier than being on a FIFA soccer field. So if you can let me know, that'd be great. Viva.
The hardest and the easiest position in all of sports, and then he goes on to specifically say he had an argument with his buddy who claims that being an NHL goalie is the easiest position in all of sports and doesn't compare to being on a FIFA soccer field.
First of all, before we get into this, let's throw out kickers, punters, like relievers, guys who don't play full time.
Fair enough.
And the hardest, everyone agrees, is QB, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's –
I might actually – it's between – for me, it's between QB and catcher. Catcher, because it's not only mentally, but, like, physically, that's crouching for 9 innings.
Yeah.
Try to do that for, like, 5 minutes, and you're dead.
No, that's for sure hard. But, I mean, QB, you – first of all, you have to learn everything. There's a lot more to learn than four pitches. I guess as a catcher, you got to learn everyone's, you know, hot and cold zones and the other team and all that. It is, yeah, they both have a lot of studying. But at the end of the day, the trump card is that there aren't 350-pound men chasing you at catcher.
Yeah, I mean, the catchers are very underappreciated. And when you see a team that has a franchise catcher like a Molina or a Pudge back in the day, like it can make a huge difference in your franchise. But I would say there's still a lot more on the shoulders of a quarterback.
Well, the question's tough because are you talking about mentally tough or physically tough? Because physically tough, it's running back, right?
Probably.
Yeah, that's why you only survived 3 years.
Right. So that's why I think it's catcher over quarterback, because catcher, you combine both. Mentally tough, it's quarterback. But if you have to combine them both, I mean, yes, quarterbacks get hit, but I mean, how many times do they get hit a game? Like, if you're a good quarterback, you get hit, you know, 3-4 times a game, maybe knock down a few more. Catchers play.
You get hit a lot more than that.
Well, it depends on who you are, obviously.
But I think the difference is like
Tom Brady's been hit 50 times this year, or rushed 50 times.
Well, he's got a shitty offensive line this year.
Patriots are a bad team, so.
Yeah, that's why.
You watch your mouth. I can't wait till we fucking win the Super Bowl.
Oh, please.
There's no chance.
That would be a goddamn miracle, or something drastically needs to change.
Okay.
But I guess it's not difficulty, it's not the right word, but like if you have a shitty quarterback, your team is shitty. No doubt about it. If you have a bad catcher, like you can get around that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's true.
Importance in that sense goes to quarterback. But more interesting side of this argument is the easiest. So if we're taking out, you know, lefty specialist reliever out of the pen, punter, place kicker. I mean, what you got at what? Like an outfielder?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough answer. That's like
you don't need a big arm. You're out there. You got a few balls a game.
Maybe like a free safety. I don't know. Or, yeah.
Nothing in hockey is particularly easy. Like
I don't. I think goalie is a pretty tough position.
And so you went on to say.
Your face, right.
You went on to say it was one of the easiest. And I mean, that's crazy. You have to have incredible reflexes, like pinpoint hand-eye coordination, and you got to be mentally sharp, like every fucking second.
Yeah, I mean, nothing strikes me as super easy, but yeah, I'd probably pick like an outfielder. Anywhere in the infield's tough in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
I had to do something real quick, but we might have already talked about this. I think hockey's easier than soccer though, right?
What?
Hockey? That's how it started. Hockey's harder.
Yes. Yeah. Hockey's harder because you see more shots. Goalies in soccer see like 5 shots a game.
And you're really only expected to save it if it's kicked like directly at you.
Right.
Like, when someone has an open shot, that's supposed to go in.
I think the actual act of saving a ball in soccer is probably like the hardest thing in the world. But you don't have the pressure on you to do it. No one expects that to happen. It's like, you know, fucking as lucky as you can get if you do save one. So you don't have the pressure of it. I think actually saving a ball, though, is incredibly difficult.
I couldn't do it. Yeah. But yeah, you're just not really. You're kind of just like there, like to fucking for goal kicks. Like you're not really supposed to save the ball.
So in this guy,
not let them shoot.
In this guy's specific argument, what would you say? Hockey goalie versus position player in soccer, more difficult.
Again, it depends on the position. Now, obviously, Feuerberg and I are new soccer fans, so we don't really know all the intricacies, but. If you're like a striker in soccer, your job isn't that hard. It's to be faster, you know, be really fast and finish goals. Like the midfielders, they run up and down the whole game. They're back and forth. They're playing a lot of different positions.
Yeah, a striker, you're just cherry picking all game, basically.
Right, you're basically cherry picking. So if you want, I mean, that's not that hard.
I cannot wait for the soccer hardos to be like, what? Striker is the most difficult position on the field. You guys
don't know. Kicking a soccer ball is hard as shit. I don't know if you ever tried to kick a soccer ball with accuracy. It's like I've tried recently since I became a fan of the beautiful game. It is not easy to do. Kick it with even it's like fire. You know how they used to say like in the Revolutionary War, like muskets from like 10 feet away couldn't hit a mattress because there was no like – fucking spin in the barrel and shit like that, and the ball just came out and went anywhere. That's what a soccer ball is. You can't kick that where you want it to. It's fucking freaking hard.
But if you relate it to hockey, like whose job is harder, Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews? It's Jonathan Toews. He's a two-way center who's got to facilitate He's got to play from net to net. Patrick Kane is more of a pure goal scorer who, you know, he's got to just score goals. Obviously, he can play, you know, the full ice. But when you talk about soccer, that's kind of like the Balotelli and those guys are kind of like Kane, where they just need to finish. That's their job.
Very true.
All right, I told you it was ladies' night, so let's get into some of these female voicemails. Weird. It's so weird that girls are calling in.
Multiple girls, yeah.
Hi, boys. It's FT from Boston, and my question is, what is the craziest thing that a girl you dated or hooked up with has ever done to you? For instance, I had a guy friend a couple years ago who dated a girl, and she was absolutely crazy, and every time he tried to break up with her, she would stick her finger down her throat in front of him and make herself puke until he just felt so bad that he would just stay with her. So that's my question.
Does that work?
That is. I mean, if some chick is pulling the trigger and throwing up in front of me, I'm dumping her double. I'm like, yeah. Never ever come near me again. That's the most. I mean, it's an outrageous move. It's like a Hail Mary. Like, all right, I guess I'm gonna throw up all over the place and hope this guy stays with me. Good for her going balls out. But that's the most outrageous thing I think I've heard.
That's so weird. I don't think that would work for me.
No.
Like I'm a sucker. It's real easy to convince me to stay. But because I just feel like you shed a tear, I'm like, ah, fuck it. All right, fine, whatever. 6 more months. But I think if you started to puke, I'd just laugh. Like I don't think that would work on me.
Yeah, you'd be like, that's gross. Like, what are you doing?
What is wrong with you?
You gotta think, though, the type of person to be in a relationship with a chick who, like, vomits all over the place on purpose. We're not talking about a logical couple here, you know what I mean?
Right. I'm going to defer to Feidelberg here because I've done a good job of keeping away from, like, totally crazy in my life.
I mean, I am the
this question,
opposite of you, Dan.
This question is dialed right in on Feidelberg.
Let me first say this is spread out across a couple of girls, and I'm not going to say which is which because I don't want to out girls like that.
Because they're still crazy.
I have a knack for the crazy, though. I have a bit of a thirst for the crazy, even. I don't know. I've had a girl tell me she's pregnant. I've had a girl say she'll send out my naked pictures. I've had a girl lock herself in my bathroom and say that if I was like, you have to get out of here, you have to leave. She's like, oh, fine, I'm just going to go run down the street and tell everyone you've been raping me. I had a girl threaten to commit suicide. She called me and she just was shaking a bottle of pills, being like, I'm taking all of them.
And the crazy part is,
I called my uncle who's a lawyer on that one. I was like, what do I do about this? He's like, call the cops and never talk to her again. So I did. I sent the cops to her house for a wellness check. I think I have one more.
This is maybe all the same girl, too.
No, it's not all the same girl.
I'm just kidding.
But you know what's funny? There's one common denominator here, John.
It's me. I said I opened it up with I have a thirst for the crazy.
Yeah. I mean, so you absolutely – it's like True Detective when Rust is like all that fucking big dick game and you can't recognize crazy pussy. Do you recognize it and you're just like, fuck it, I'm going to do it again? Or are you
once
like...
Once I recognize it, that's when the eyes light up, Kev. That's when we go into full-on attack mode. Like, this is it. This is... I want you to make me miserable for the next 3 to 5 months. Let's do this.
I too, Dan, have kept away. Because I'm the king of, like, anytime I've been in a relationship, like Fight said, where you'll just, like, give him another 6 months, I'll be like, her birthday's coming up, so I can't do it now. And then it'll be like, oh, you know, her father got laid off, so I can't do it now. And I just always wait until there's an opportune moment so that nobody ends up really hating me.
And one of those girls, by the way, got married in the next 3 months after that.
I do think that there's definitely – like I have a bunch of friends. I have one specific friend like Feidelberg who has a thirst for the crazy. And then all my other friends are pretty much, you know – they stay away from the real crazy shit. So I think it's definitely like a personality trait. Either you're it's the couple that loves to fight in public. Like that's what you are, Feidelberg. For better or worse.
No, we would never fight. But I've had a girl, beat the shit out of me in public.
But you like the drama.
Oh, I had a girl beat the shit out of me one night. Yeah, that one where she beat the fuck out of me with a boot, which she was just like slamming my face with a boot and trying to kick me out of my apartment, throwing my clothes out. It was my goddamn apartment.
Everyone has a friend.
No, I don't fight in public. I might drive them crazy because I just don't fight at all. Like, I'm just like, fuck off. Like, I don't want to do this. Let's just talk in 3 days when this is over.
You need a shirt that says I've got a thirst for the crazy. That would be awesome.
I'm kind of like in The Office when Andy and what's the second receptionist's name?
I know who you're talking about.
When they're dating and like he just keeps trying to prevent her. He's like, I don't want the drama. And then she's like, no, like you're fucking doing this. This is you're bringing this on. That's basically me, I guess. Because I'm like, I don't ever fight in public. Yeah, I do.
Hey, KFC, Big Cat, Fiber. When I was seeing a girl last week, it made me wonder why boyfriend of 2.5 years we've lived together, he claims he doesn't know his number. We talked a bunch about our history, which might not be the greatest idea, but he knows my number, and I know a ton about his sexual history. So he's definitely lying about not knowing, right? I've always been under the impression guys keep track, maybe not like pen and paper, but they know. Let me know. Thanks.
Bro, unless you're fucking Wilt Chamberlain, you know your number.
No. I disagree. I don't know my number. And it's not like it's crazy high. I just don't know what it is.
But you have an idea. You have a ballpark.
I guess a ballpark. I don't, because a lot of times too where it's like I'm just like drunk and I'm like, I don't know if we fucked last night or what happened.
You gotta know within like 5.
Right. But
I'd say 10.
Say this. This is the point. This is the lesson that we're trying to teach the ladies who are calling in. Don't fucking ask.
Yeah.
Because now you're starting the conversation and we don't want to have the conversation. So that girl who just called in, your boyfriend saying he doesn't know his number is probably a lie, but what he's really saying is stop fucking asking me this question.
Guys know chicks better than crazy chicks know themselves. So it's like, we know what's going to piss you off. We know what's going to push your buttons. So when you say, how many girls did you fuck, and I know if I give you the real answer, you're going to be pissed, I'm going to make up a lie to protect you. I'm trying to save you the pain.
I'm saving you from yourself here.
Yes.
It's double jeopardy. You do the girls love to do this. It's the old, does my friend look hot in this picture? No. Oh, you're calling her a fat pig? Yes. Oh, you want to fuck my friend? Like we know what's going on. So we just go,
That being said, though, just lie. Rather than make up a stupid lie, just lie, pick a number and lie about it and give her a number she's going to be happy with.
Well, I think he really is like trying to give her a hint, like just stop.
No, because that's dangerous. I've given the fake number before. And then, like, you meet people. I've had – this happened earlier on in my – when I started having sex. So, like, I would be like, oh, my number is 3. And then, like, we met, like, 4 friends I had sex with. And she was like – I think you said it was 3. And then you get caught in this web of lies. And you just – you lie more. And you're like, oh, no, that wasn't – she just blew me. That wasn't sex. And then it's like – oh, she likes you that much? Like, what were you dating? Like, why is she just blowing you? And you're like, why am I fucking here right now? I wish I just hadn't lied.
Yeah, I love the she just blew me, because either you're trying to inflate your number and count those, or you're trying to keep it down for whatever reason.
I've
count those. That's an interesting dynamic there.
She just blew me's are like almost like my grandma died. Like, I've had those like 1,000 times where I don't really know if it's true, like what the numbers are like. Oh, no, that one just – she just blew me. That was it.
But I'm happy that this girl recognized that he's lying, because, well, I mean, sucks for that dude, but you're learning, girls. You're learning. We're trying to teach you here. I'm happy you're ahead of the curve.
Hi, guys. So the situation that I'm calling about is this. My best friend was going through a slutty period for, like, 6 or 7 years. She started to get a serious boyfriend. She decided that's what she wanted. So she found this guy, really sweet, but really boring, and they started dating. When she went home with him to go meet his family, she recognized his older brother as the guy that she used to hook up with. Like, really nasty hookup, like 69ing in the car outside the bar, like just random stuff. So my question is, how would you guys react if you found out that that was going on with your significant other? And is she ruining her life because she wants to tell him? Okay, bye.
My favorite part about these emails is when they say these things that are not supposed to be like the punchline or the point that crack us up. Like you go through a 7-year slutty.
A 7-year slutty?
That's a career.
That's a career.
If you have a 7-year career, if you're in the NFL for 7 years, that's a career. That's not like, oh, I went through a phase where I was in
that,
the NFL.
That defines, and that career defines your life. Like,
right.
It's not like you had a cup of coffee in the league and it's like, oh, yeah, he played in 3 NFL games and then he became an insurance salesman. Like, that guy was an NFL athlete for his whole life. That's what it'll be known.
I mean, Michael Jordan gets judged on his Bulls career, not his Wizards career. You don't stop being slutty for a season and
be
a good girl when you fuck 200 dudes over the past 7 years.
I started laughing in my head when she said a slutty phase because I was like, well, that sluttiness is kind of a state of mind.
Yeah.
Can't really be a phase type thing. And then she goes, for like 6 or 7 years.
A leopard doesn't change his spots. So wait, I missed a little piece of the question. What was her?
So this guy, this chick finally settles down, goes to his family's house and realizes that she's fucked the brother and has had like nasty sex, like 69ing in the car outside of the bar, dirty hookup shit. So I guess the flip side for us would kind of be different. Like, if you brought a chick home and your brother had fucked her, what would you do?
I mean, I don't know.
Part of me,
I probably wouldn't marry the girl, but like, I wouldn't get mad.
I guess it all comes down to this simple question. Does, as long as your brother and the girl don't say anything, ignorance is bliss. If you find out somehow... And you have to know the details.
We already found out. Yeah, obviously ignorance is bliss is the best answer.
Right, but there's levels of ignorance here. So obviously the best scenario is you just don't even know it happened. The second best scenario is they just say, oh, well, we like might have hooked up. But even still, like, are you gonna marry a chick that like fucked your brother?
That's
the thing. Weird.
I would like to be cool with it. Like, it's kind of unreasonable. It would just be like, it was before you met me and like my brother was there and you guys just hooked up, like whatever. But if I'm being honest,
no,
I'm going to pick you fucking my brother all the time and that's going to bother.
Right. And not only that, but like if you say, are you okay if your future wife fucked your brother? No, but maybe I can get over it. But are you okay with your future wife having 69 your brother in the back of a car and like done anal and all that shit? Then it's just, you got to like, you gotta cut ties.
When you say you hooked up with my brother, it's different than my brother's nose has been in your asshole.
Right.
There's a very big difference there.
Right.
So
I guess I wouldn't like freak out though. Like, I wouldn't like get pissed. I'd just like put an expiration date on the relationship. I'm like, this is gonna kick it in 6 months.
You wouldn't have anything to be, they didn't do anything wrong, but I would just be like, I can't date you anymore.
See ya. Slutty phase. Fantastic. It cracks me up every time I hear a girl's voice, by the way. I keep expecting to hear like some.
Oh, every time.
Like, hey, how do you wipe your ass? It's just a trick.
What's another good one here? Let's do. This is kind of general.
Hey, guys. Calling from D.C. KFC, I saw your Twitter request for lots of female voicemails and noticed quite a few Twitter handles that reflect their love for certain bloggers or just duel in general. Out of curiosity, how many stalkers do you guys have and if they ever get anything just completely bananas? I'm a loyal duelie, but I would never change my photo or Twitter handle or two. Something's duel vault. So just curious if anyone's done anything totally nuts. Peace out.
So everyone who follows us on Twitter, you know, pretty intently, will see that there's a little like groupie crew. Fights, you specifically have one that's like, I love Feidelberg or something. I love Feidel Tits. to that extent. Have any of them ever crossed the line with you or been weird with you, or is it just weird Twitter chirping?
No, not at all. I think the only weird thing that's ever happened to me is that fucking dude who showed up. Well, not maybe dude, maybe girl. The fucking person who brought the True Detective shit. That's the only like weird thing, though. I don't think anyone's ever done anything weird.
Big Cat?
That whole crew kind of died down a little, too. There was a time when it was like a lot. At least the girls in that crew were tweeting us a lot more, but I think it's kind of died down a little bit. But yeah, I think people realize that there's real life and then there's Twitter. And, like, there's some lines that – but who knows? I
think the more stalkerish people are dudes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately.
Yeah. I'm dealing with fucking people talking about coming to the wedding and shit like that. Like, the girls I wish were stalking me. Instead, I just got weirdo dudes who can't get over their blog crushes. Very upsetting. So, there's your answer. All the wrong sort of stalking is what goes on.
Hey, y'all. I'm Lainey. I live on the Cape. My question is there any famous girl that society thinks is wicked hot that you just disagree and think is absurdly overrated? Like, for me, the guy version is Channing Tatum. Guy just doesn't do it for me. All right. Let me know.
I will say this. Living in a world where chicks are saying that Channing Tatum isn't getting the job done, that is not acceptable. I refuse to live in a world where that happens, because that means for this chick that literally none of us have a shot at, you know, doing it for her.
It's like in the Office episode again with Kelly Kapoor when they're debating whether what's her name?
Hillary Swank, that episode?
Hillary Swank, yeah. She's like, no, Hillary Swank has to be hot, because if you're saying she's not hot, then that means you're saying I'm not hot. Channing Tatum's drop dead gorgeous.
Right. Tatum's hotter than most chicks.
Yeah, he is.
That's just not fair. And here's the thing with chicks too, ladies. Let me break it down for a minute. Chicks are fucking outrageous with their standards and their expectations. When they're like, you gotta be like 6'2", and you gotta have gone to an Ivy League school, and this and that, you gotta make this much money. That would honestly, like, if dudes held those same standards for chicks, it would be completely,
I disagree, though. I disagree. They have it in their head. Like, that chick thinks that Channing Tatum is, like, she wants her Channing Tatum. But at the end of the day, all any girl wants is, like, security and having a guy who, like, can make some money. That's literally all it comes down to. That's why hot chicks marry gross dudes all the time.
They just want attention. They want some security.
They want to know a guy. They want to have a guy who's not going to go and, you know, sleep around on them and is going to be able to make money.
But I'm saying at least in their dream guy version, our equivalent would be like, you have to be like 101 pounds with perfect ass, long hair, you know what I mean? It's just crazy what they expect.
Guys have pretty ridiculous standards, too. I feel like you're making it out like, yeah, we'll just fucking date anything.
I think it skews more that direction than the other.
I think guys probably have higher standards for a chick they'll date. I think they'll fuck anything. But I think as far as standards for dating goes, I think, like, that sounded like you were reading, like, that Craigslist ad. Like, I don't think most girls are, like, 6'2", Ivy League. I think that's a lower standard.
I mean, a higher standard,
I think.
I mean, in Manhattan, it's like that. I don't know if it's a regional thing. Like, in New York City, there are chicks who will not, like, nothing lower than that. And they'll sit around and be miserable if they don't have
That's a Jewish girl thing.
Yeah. Like, chicks like that will just be... It's like, well, you're never going to have a boyfriend because you want a fucking Hollywood star. It's never going to happen, idiot. But back to the original question. Chicks that you think are overrated, everyone pretty much knows mine is Kate Upton. I've also recently said Emma Watson doesn't do it for me. Do you have any Hollywood chicks that you just are like, blah?
I don't think so. I mean, this is what I have to think about. Like, I don't even know, like, who, like, name some hot Hollywood chicks.
I'm trying to think of ones who are, like, debatable. Like... the chick from The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Now, you know, like, she's hot, of course. But I'm saying, like, there are dudes, like, internet nerd dudes who, like,
Yeah, I think most of her notoriety is because of her show, though. If she was on a different show, I don't think she'd be like the hot girl.
I guess I
grade on that scale. Like, a lot of the notoriety comes from just being on the popular show.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't find Paris Hilton that attractive.
Yeah, I think she's like a hot slut that I would want to bang, but I don't think she's like physically beautiful or in her body.
If you're gonna ask me this question, I can definitely work it out in my head with every single girl to agree with her being crazy hot. If that wouldn't be hard. I think they're all hot. I don't think there's no one who I get ridiculously angry about like you do, like with Kate Upton. I can work it out that Kate Upton's hot.
She is hot.
My thing always is, and people always skew this argument, they're like, oh, what, KFC only fuck like 10s and she's hotter than any other fuck. Like, yeah, she's still on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I get all that shit. It's the unearned, like...
You don't like overrated. You don't like overrated.
Yeah.
You also didn't get any help when White Sox Dave joined your crew and called Kate Upton a 6.
Yeah, and then I get lumped in with him, and it's like, dude, come on now. She's not a 6, but...
A 6! He called her a 6! That was maybe my favorite White Sox Dave blog of all time, because he actually believed it. And he was like, yeah, she's a 6. I wouldn't even blink if I saw her at the bar. I was like, shut the fuck up, dude.
Let's do a couple more chicks, then we'll be out.
Hi, guys. So, question for Girl KFC Radio Edition. Are tramp stamps a deal breaker for you guys? Totally asking for a friend. Thanks so much.
No.
This is an example of chicks, like, just not getting it. Like, that's not actually, like, a deal breaker thing. Like, it's a wedding.
Well, it depends. What's the tramp stamp of? Like, is this a fucking barbed wire thing covering her lower back?
Right. Here's the thing. I don't think a tramp stamp is a deal breaker, but just know, if you're a chick and you smoke cigarettes or have, like, a tattoo visible or a tramp stamp, I'm going to judge you. Not saying it's a deal breaker, but I've judged you immediately.
So I think you can have...
If you walk around, you're being judged.
I wouldn't judge you for a tattoo visible in certain places. Like, there are, like, the girl places to get a tattoo.
Right.
That, like, if you got one on your bicep or your back shoulder or something like that, that's a judgment. If you got, like, something on your wrist or your foot
or ankle,
something like that behind your ear, that's fucking whatever. But
I think I would judge a chick with a tramp stamp in terms of, like, you're a basic bitch then. You know what I mean? I wouldn't necessarily be like, you're a slutty chick or whatever. I would,
because if you got a tramp stamp, you probably got it in, like, Cancun on spring break. You are – to get to the point of getting a tramp stamp
– I hear you.
You're not the smartest.
I think tramp stamps became mainstream enough that it still has that, like, persona, but it's not necessarily true.
Tramp stamps can be on your vagina too, right? Or are we just talking lower back stuff?
I'm talking lower back, because I think if you have a tattoo on your pussy, I want to fuck the shit out of you, but it might.
I used to go with a girl with one on her pussy, and it didn't bother me in the sense, like, I would be more concerned about the visibility aspect of it. Like, if we're talking long-term stuff here, if I feel like that's how this question is going. Like, is it a deal breaker in the sense, like, you'd never marry? Like, I don't know. I don't want my wife picking up the kids at the playground, people being like, ah, look at the mom's fucking
yeah.
Whatever it is. Vagina never – didn't bother me at all.
I think I would just be more concerned with settling down with the type of chick who at one point had a tattoo artist, like, drawing on her pussy, you know? It's the lifestyle behind the tattoo, I think. But I think at this point there's tramp stamps everywhere that – I think you could be like a sweet girl at this point and have a tramp stamp just because it got that mainstream.
Yeah. No, the girl in question I'm referring to wasn't like a bad chick or like anything like that. It was just kind of like whatever.
All right, one more from the chicks and we'll call it a day.
What did you say, Dan?
I said I think we all agree on it. It's also – it just depends – like, if you see a girl with a tramp stamp and she's like, oh, look at how awesome my tramp stamp is, like, that's a red flag. But if she's like, yeah, it was, you know, it was 2007, they were hot, like I was drunk. Like if there's an adequate amount of regret, that can kind of negate the tramp stamp.
Wouldn't it be wild to be like the first tramp stamp chick who like came up with the idea? It got so fucking popular, it's nuts.
I saw a dude in the gym, I mean, it was like 3 years ago, with a tramp stamp, like a full tramp stamp. Have you ever seen that? It was so disgusting.
Was it a joke one? Like,
no, it was like an Indian like warrior thing, but it was like wide, so it was like a full tramp stamp, right over his ass. He was walking around with a towel around his waist, and you could just see his tramp stamp.
That must look ridiculous.
That would probably be the worst thing that you could do to yourself, I think. Like, if I had to, like, ever make a bet, it would be like, what's the most humiliating thing if you lose? I think it would be getting a tramp stamp.
Yeah. And not, like...
I feel like that's the only way those things happen. Like, I think that guy lost the bet.
No, but it was real enough that it looked... It was real enough that it looked like he was serious. Like, he thought it up. It was like, oh, this is going to be sweet.
What would you rather have, a tramp stamp? Or you have to rock, like, earrings in both ears, like, all the time? Like a dangly like cross too.
I'd probably go tramp stamp.
You gotta go tramp stamp.
Just because you could hide it.
And just never go to the beach again.
Getting your ears pierced is just the weirdest. All right, one more.
Hey KFC, DJ from Boston. Just had a question about the doghouse situation you were in last weekend. What's the worst the three of you guys have ever been in the doghouse, and what's the story behind that put you there?
People. All right, so my doghouse situation is not just not last weekend. It's permanent. I'm in there still, and I'm dying. I'm floundering. I might die in the doghouse. So that's still going on.
What are you talking about? You're automatically out of the doghouse in, like, less than a week.
You think that. I don't know, man. It's bad. I'm taking fire from all angles right now. A week might as well.
Wait, what did you say? What happened? What happened?
Nothing specific. I mean, I got bombed at the party the other day. the party started at like 2. I got there at 1, and I just started slamming drinks. I didn't eat at all. By 7 o'clock, I was just whacked. And you know, when your girlfriend just hates when you're drunk, basically. All steady, serious girlfriends hate the person you are when you're drinking. And you combine that with like wedding stress and how I've been like horrible at planning this wedding with her. It's the worst doghouse situation I've ever been in. So his question to you guys is your worst scenario ever. Current girlfriend, previous girlfriend, what's your worst doghouse story?
I feel like you're not like a real guy unless you just permanently live in a doghouse. I don't really.
I was gonna say exactly that. I never really did anything specific. I guess like some of those, like, I thought you said you didn't have sex with her situations. But
yeah, I'm always on like a state of probation, you know? Yeah,
that's it. You're on parole for your whole life.
Right. Exactly.
I don't even, it's just the dynamic. It's like, if you're a normal dude doing normal things, you're going to be in trouble. And if you're a normal girlfriend, you probably should keep us in the doghouse or we're going to run fucking wild. You're being a bad girlfriend if you're not trying to piss your boyfriend off.
Here is the perfect...
Oh, I know one. Oh, this is a bad one. This one had me in the doghouse for like a month. I was on vacation for like a week. I was on the vineyard, and her really close grandma died, and I sent flowers. And like we've been dating for like a long time, and I didn't go. She was like, "Are you not?" She's like, "What time is your ferry?" And I was like, "Oh, did you not get the flowers?" And she's like, "No, the flowers are here." And I was like, "Yeah,
we'll talk later."
And that's exactly how it went on the phone too. Like it was just silence. Like,
Jesus.
So I sent those.
That's probably the most disrespectful thing I've. The fact that was a doghouse and not a just instant CLS.
Well, it was a doghouse for a month and then it was over.
He, here's the perfect analogy.
Well, we were dating for a long. We were dating for like, hang on, let's talk this one out for a second, because you guys are kind of making me feel bad, so I need to work myself out of this,
bro,
out of the doghouse.
You try to talk your way out of this, because there's no coming back.
Like, we weren't dating for that long. Like, all right, let me ask you, how long did it be dating for you to like go to a few?
It depends. Did you meet the parents a few times?
Like, yeah, but like in passing briefly. We didn't go to dinner or anything like that.
Then you're probably okay. That's really the litmus test there, is like the parent who's
like, I've seen him at their house, like,
right. Like, do you
like
know?
I've seen him at the house, like picking her up and stuff like that, but like, no, we didn't hang out.
You're fine. Okay. What I was gonna say though, the perfect analogy for the doghouse, and this is and why there really is no doghouse, because you're always in the doghouse, is the terrorist threat level that the government puts out. When they're like threat level orange, threat level red, we're always at threat level something. Like, there's always a threat of a terrorist attack. Yeah. So it never goes away. The government's never going to be like, we're safe, we're never going to get attacked again, all the terrorists are gone. We're always there. It's just, what color are you currently? So I'm always in the doghouse.
Dan, that's one of the smartest things you ever said.
I know.
So the real thing is that we need like a new term for the doghouse then. Because it's right. Like, you're just going, what's behind the doghouse? Like the woods in your backyard or something.
I always describe it as how big my doghouse is. Like, sometimes I'm in the doghouse where I have enough room to like lay down. Sometimes it's so small I can't even turn around and wag my tail. So that's really what it is. It's just
I said the other day, I moved into the doghouse. I've got a flat screen. I bought some furniture because I'm just permanently here. So why not just make myself at home? But right. Yeah, just levels to the doghouse. And
that's, yeah.
Really, I mean, I can't blame chicks for doing it, because if you don't, then you're not dating. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you're a wild dog. You're just running around. Like, you don't, if you don't live in a doghouse, you are a wild dog.
When you think about it, the fact that the whole metaphor is dogs is perfect. You're either on a leash, or you're chained up, or you're in a doghouse. And if not, you would be a wild dog just digging in the dumpster all the time.
Yeah, running around, humping random shit, like almost getting hit by a bunch of cars. Like, that's exactly what it is. We're dogs. Yeah.
And it's almost for our benefit that there is some sort of control over our dog lives. Even though
we need
to be controlled. Otherwise, we're just like a hyena out there.
Every now and then, even when you're in a little doghouse and it's like storming outside, you're like, all right, I'm actually kind of happy that I have like a roof over my head.
I'm often happy I get sent to the doghouse. Like, it's very rare when I'm like in the doghouse and I'm like, this is bullshit. Why am I here? Like, well, I guess in your case it is. Like, right now, I guess in the immediate after sending, like, I get it. But after a week, I'm like, okay, can I come back inside now? Like, I get why I was put out here, and I respect you for trying to control me. And, like, I know what I did was out of line, but this punishment is it's cold out here, and it's fucking ridiculous that I haven't had food in a week.
It's just universal. It's,
like, if it was for an hour, I would totally love it. I'd be like, you're right. I was fucking totally out of line. And I should be a better person. And you really hit the nail on the head, babe, if I can tell you the truth. You really pegged it. But then after a week, I start to resent it. And you let me out of the doghouse, and I'm free to play again. And I'm like, all right, let's go, boys.
Do it again. Do it again.
Yeah.
On that note of the perfect DEFCON terrorist threat metaphor, we'll call it a day. Because it's only downhill from there. So another edition in the books. Thank you, ladies. Much appreciated. Yeah, you guys did a good job. There was some, you know, thought.
That was fun.
So don't be afraid in the future. Doesn't have.
Yeah, we should do this. I feel like we can be a help, because all the walls are stripped down, and you know you're gonna get the honest guy response. You can't
we're in the
go
to. We're in the, yeah. Everybody can be honest. Everybody can give real answers.
Right.
So call in whatever you want, but maybe like once a month we'll do a specific ladies' night. So 646. 807-8665, or tweet us at KFC Radio. Thank you, girls.
Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.